AI has taken over the internet. Wrong answers, made-up facts. You ask a simple question and get a generated essay nobody asked for. Technology trying to decide for you and still getting it wrong. The internet didn't used to be this way. When you just want to search anything online and find what you need, Startpage is the private search engine that keeps it simple. Real links, less noise, and we don't keep track of what you asked. Try Startpage at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.
There is a frustrated Jeremiah Smith, but not for the reason that you might think. Welcome to Snap Judgments. It is a Woody Wednesday on the Austin and Berm Show. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. And you said, Berm, you wanted to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Jeremiah has looked a little frustrated. He's looked a little passionate. He's looked a little heated on the sidelines. So we had to ask the question. We did get to talk to the Ohio State wide receiver after practice on Wednesday night, got right to the bottom of it.
I think it's important because ultimately what Jeremiah said, as the question that you asked, I was somewhere else when he sat down, but the question is, what's got you so angry? And the result of that is he's putting a lot of pressure on himself.
He is, yep.
And I think it's not something that like a terrestrial can really fathom, like, because he is the best receiver in college football. He is going to be not just a first round pick after next season, but he's going to be the number one pick in the draft next year, which will make him the first NFL receiver or first receiver to be picked as the number one pick in the draft since 1995. Like, there's a lot of pressure on him, and he believes he can be better and should be better, and he shouldn't drop footballs and he shouldn't make mistakes and he shouldn't run routes that aren't 100% crisp. Like, he is so high pressure on himself that, like, anything we talk about won't even compare to what he's doing to himself.
Yeah, and that's, I prefaced it by saying, I know what a competitor you are, like, that's, and that's how you show it, and it's also a combination of the way you're trying to show leadership, that this is the standard that you hold yourself to, and that would apply to the rest of the team. But I was like, have you been frustrated the last couple of weeks? And he said, well, I haven't really been frustrated since Texas. And there were the two drops in that game that we know about, and he's receiving extra attention, and they weren't scoring a ton of points. And he's like, well, actually, no, I kind of got frustrated against Ohio too, because there was a drop in that game, and he thought that he should have had the fade ball, which I didn't chalk up as a drop for him, but it was a play that he expects himself to make. So It has been channeled into, I think, these last couple weeks, last weeks of practice, halfway through the preparation for Washington on Saturday in Seattle. That'll be at 12:30 Pacific time, 3:30 on CBS, where, as you said, he is from a different planet, a different solar system, different galaxy, and the standard that he holds himself to is highly elevated. Not for the not for the exterior reasons that you're talking about necessarily, being a number one pick, but wanting now to... Because the first question he actually got was about contributing to that banner over there. It's a 2024 national championship banner. And he's like so beyond that. He doesn't want to claim that as his own. He's trying to put another one up there. And I think for Ohio State to reach its full potential, he's putting that weight on his own shoulders. And it's a team thing. But his contributions are, you can't drop these opportunities if you're going to put Julian Sain and the rest of the offense in the best spot to win games.
Yeah, and he's hearing of it from his coaches. He's hearing it from everyone else. Like, this week is a week where Ohio State as a program is going to be challenged. And all Jeremiah said is that he doesn't care if he's going up against Takario Davis, who he acknowledged, I heard he was hurt. Like, he's going to play. I mean, that's the way it's going to go. And he said that he doesn't care if he's going up against a freshman or against a fourth-year guy. He's going to dominate. And that's a pretty telling statement. He's, I'm going to dominate no matter what. Okay, well, let's go.
Yeah.
Time to do it. This team is definitely taking this Washington game very seriously. There was not a lot of joking around tonight, even on a night where people are asking Jeremiah about his brother's commitment. You know, he said, I can't really talk about that, but, you know, obviously he was proud of him and you know, excited that he made the decision. But they don't want to talk about the extemporaneous stuff. They just is like, Washington is a good football team. I asked Ryan Day when he was walking off of his lightning round 10 minutes or whatever. I said, you know, you guys are the second number one ranked team in 15 years to be only a single digit favorite against an unranked team. And I said, why do you think people don't buy Ohio State? And this is just us talking. I wasn't trying to like put him on the record or anything, but he said, it's nothing about Ohio State. He said, Washington's really good. and people need to be aware that they are really good. And what they've seen on film, even though they've played subpar competition, translates. The things they're doing well translate, and this is going to be a test. And so that is certainly the mindset of the Ohio State team. Every player we talk to, that's Carson Hinsman, Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Smith, Sonny Styles.
Jermaine Matthews,
like Caden Curry. Like, this team is dialed in, ready for what they expect to be the toughest test of the season so far, I think, in a lot of ways. I mean, even more so than Texas. From a physical standpoint, Texas may have been a better like-for-like competition, but as far as all of the circumstances around this game, this is a objectively tougher game than Texas because it means a lot more. Hmm. It's on the road. There's the off week. There's the travel. There's the noise. There's the triple team offensive threat that Washington deploys. Like, I think this is a tougher game for Ohio State. I know it sounds crazy. I know that sounds crazy to say, but like Texas, Ohio State had played them one game earlier. Like, they knew what they were going to play.
So I'm not.
That's my take. If you don't like it, America, I fully appreciate the disagreement.
The facts that you lay out, I don't dispute them. I think reaching the conclusion that it is objectively tougher, I'm not going to take that ride with you, because the physicality of playing Texas I don't think Washington can come close to matching that. And what we're talking about in terms of the rest of it, I think it all boils down to Damon Williams and, you know, the offensive firepower. It is more of a finesse game. Now, I know that the running back situation, it's a miniature, you know, bowling ball, mm-hmm. meatball situation.
Sure.
They're definitely going to be physical, and they have talent on the offensive line. I recognize all of that. I don't think you can say.
I think this game requires a better level of execution to win it than the Texas game did, which was going to be a physical, two heavyweights, slugfest. We knew that from the start. That was just going to be a who can outlast who. I think this one requires more precise execution from Ohio State to win.
That's possibly true.
Okay. We're there.
I think that it has elevated. And the more that you look at this matchup for Washington, and you can include both sides of the football, I'm skeptical about the defense and its ability to stop Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. That's fine. I mean, I think if you get into a more wide open game and more is asked of Matt Patricia and this defense to stop Washington than what Arch Manning and the Texas offense were capable of, you know, that does add a different level of challenge to this. You're still going to be, are you putting it in the same category of Penn State, Michigan, and Texas? I'd still have to say no, but you know, Ohio State's been to Michigan plenty of times. They know what that's going to take. It's not flying across the country. It's all that. Penn State is at home, and James Franklin is still a terrible big game coach. So, you know, you can remove
that. Stay tuned Saturday to find out more about that point.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. But look, it's a big game is my point.
Yeah.
Is it the toughest one? I think it has become game number four overall for Ohio State, which is significant all of its own. It's not the one you can't afford to waste these opportunities.
No, I mean, because it sets a tone. I mean, Sonny Styles said it tonight. He said that they will learn a lot about themselves on Saturday. And it's not that Washington is as talented as Ohio State 1 through 85, as we said earlier this week. They're not even as talented as Ohio State 1 through 3 or 1 through 10 or 1. Like, they're But they do have a unique set of skills, with all apologies or all due respect to Liam Neeson. They have a very particular set of skills. They are going to push the ball vertically. They are going to try and put Ohio State in positions where the Buckeyes defense has to win some man-to-man situations down the field, which, you know, they watched the Oregon game last October. They saw, hey, if we can just throw the ball down the field, you never know what happens. In Ohio State, we saw tonight, Kenyatta Jackson has that. The brace on his leg is not for precaution. Like, that is a serious brace, and I don't know what part of his knee has been damaged, but I don't know if he's going to be anywhere near full strength. There are pieces to this game plan on Saturday, and I asked Matt Patricia about this because, and we'll talk, and you'll hear about it more on tomorrow morning's episode of The Beat on the Austin and Berm Show, is that Jed Fish coached with Matt Patricia in New England. Jed Fish, his defensive coordinator a year ago was Steve Belichick. He, Jed Fish called Matt Patricia last year and asked him to be the replacement for Steve Belichick because he knows the defense that they run. Washington runs a very similar defense, at least in parts, to what Ohio State does. And so there's a strange confidence that the Washington offense has had this week that they know what Ohio State's defense is going to do. Now, it's going to come down to individual players making plays. Washington does not have Caleb Downs or Arvell Reese or Sonny Styles or even Caden Curry or Caden McDonald or any number of other players. But they feel like they have an opportunity to win some matchups just from knowing what Matt Patricia's defense is, which is not an advantage that Texas had or Grambling State or Ohio. So I do think that there's some interesting crossover here that puts the defense in a little bit of a disadvantage for Ohio State for the first time this season. Not from a talent standpoint, but just from a schematic standpoint, they are not going to go out there and surprise Jed Fish and Washington with what they do. He didn't deny it. So he said, yeah, we've got, there's a lot of crossover. He said, it's his defense. So Steve Belichick was running Matt Patricia's defense, but
well,
it's like, it's the, I taught you
Daddy,
everything.
Daddy might've passed down some knowledge.
I taught you everything you know, but not everything I know type of situation. Yeah. I think that adds a layer to this, like the familiarity with Jed Fish and this defense is going to be interesting because the Buckeyes are going to have to do something different.
I do. And I think that part is interesting. And I also believe that Matt Patricia has pushed back on this notion that everything he is running is a carbon copy of New England or what he tried to install with Detroit or everything that he knew from the NFL level. And
he told me, sorry to cut you off here. He told me that the teams running his defense in the NFL right now are the Minnesota Vikings, the Indianapolis Colts and under Lou Anarumo, who is the Bengals defensive coordinator, the Bengals, because Al Golden was one of his coaches, and the Raiders. And I'm like, well, two of those teams are pretty terrible on defense, and two of them are pretty good. So,
well, that's my point. It does rely on what athletes are using to run that system, if it's going to be successful or not. That's true of any sport and any kind of any level that you're going to play it. But, you know, I think that it's why it's important to keep in mind that, as Ryan Day has talked about this, which is, this is now the Ohio State defense. It's not, Matt Patricia did not come in here to install his full encyclopedia, page 1 through 1,000,
right,
for Ohio State. And there's a lot of influence still that is coming from Matt Guerrieri, Tim Walton, James Laurinaitis, and Larry
Even
Johnson.
Even Jim Mills.
So there is also some carryover from a year ago, and it is enhancing what Ohio State did very well. And there are a lot of teams that had an opportunity and had seen a Jim, like Penn State had seen a Jim Knowles offense or a defense multiple times and was absolutely dumbfounded by how to handle it with Drew Aller a year ago. So
maybe they should have just run from the 1 yard line.
Maybe it's about execution. It's about athletes. And I think from that regard, I still, you know, am a little bit skeptical of Washington's chances to win this game, while fully acknowledging that they can, and that Ohio State, when they leave tomorrow at this time, as they're leaving after practice on Thursday, you know, that they have to be locked in, that they manage the jet lag, the, you know, body clock situation, that they are able to stay focused and locked in. And it doesn't seem like that's going to be an issue for them. And maybe we're belaboring that point, but it has been difficult for college teams and Big Ten specific teams to travel across the country either direction and get wins. So Ohio State is trying to mitigate that part. They've certainly had the benefit of an extra week to prepare for Damon Williams, for what that Washington attack can do to them. I think there's answers to that. Now, it is more, if we're going to say that the guys you're using is relevant and important, mm-hmm, which it is, then Kenyatta Jackson's knee bears monitoring. He's going to play, and he's had that knee brace on for the last couple of weeks, but, or at least for the Ohio game. But they're going to have Lorenzo Styles back at nickel as well. Ryan Day said he's been full go. He is fully cleared for this game. So, you know, those are the two starters that you look at. We're starting to get to this point of the year where even if we don't have the full availability report coming out of a Ryan Day lightning round, we have a much better understanding of what that personnel is going to look like.
Yeah.
And 100% Lorenzo Styles is important for that secondary. Again, we're looking at this defensive line and the depth of it. I don't think you're going to see the best of Kenyatta Jackson on Saturday, at least based on what we saw walking off the practice field.
Yeah, and that will be interesting because, again, when you're trying to stop a guy like Damon Williams, you need defensive ends who are able to lock up their rush lane and to be an edge setter and someone who's long, and that's certainly what Kenyatta is, to make sure you get a hand on Damon Williams if he happens to run by you before the other guys are there to clean up. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to that. I know, you know, in the past, we were talking with Matt Patricia, and he'd said that in Detroit, like, he had used basically outside linebackers against quarterbacks like that in the past as defensive ends. But that's hard to do against Washington when you have Jonah Coleman, who's a 5'10", 230-pound bowling ball at running back. So
in length of tackle.
And their long tackle. So it's a very interesting matchup for the Ohio State offense, or the Ohio State defense against the Washington offense. Ultimately, I think this game gets won because Ohio State's offense will score more points than Washington's. But I do feel like, if I'm being honest about how I feel about
the game, I was going to say, I think the midweek berm vibe check is trending the wrong way.
I predicted, 35-24 on, or 38-24 is what I said at Roosters on Monday. I mean, I could see how this is a 7-point game when it comes down to it. It could be 38-31. I'm going to be shocked if Washington scores 31 points, but I know from just listening to the notes that are in the air on a night like tonight, the Buckeyes are taking this very seriously. Like, this is not they don't think it's talent equated, but they, again, you see the avenues for a team to pull off an upset. And it certainly helps when you're in 70,000 of your fans and are there, and you actually have loud fans, which they do.
Well, I can't wait to see what your score is going to be altered to by the time we get to Freaky Friday on the beat. But we're not quite there yet, but we are through the midway point. Wednesday practice in the bag, Ohio State traveling out on Thursday. Tomorrow morning on the beat, look for three things. We're going to be breaking down some interesting numbers that we've seen from this Ohio State team to this point, and what they might mean on Saturday afternoon against Washington. And that's it. Then we're going to be traveling ourselves out on Friday, but we'll get to all of that later on. Looking forward to getting out to a new stadium for me, Husky Stadium, and seeing if the sound lives lives up to the reputation. It's been loud out there, I can tell you. They have cranked up those speakers to the highest possible level. I think they turned it up to 11. We'll see if that preparation pays off.
Does any stereo speaker like just go to 11 as like the highest number, or does everyone just stop at 10?
Well, I think that's the joke. But I don't know.
I'm not a comedy
expert, obviously.
I'm not sure it's comedy. I'm just wondering, like, someone should just make a knob that goes to 11.
Spinal Tap.
So that you can be like, hey, we made one that goes to 11.
It's on film. It exists.
I didn't see that.
Okay. Well, read a book, man.
We'll see you guys later.
Thanks for joining us for Snap Judgments on 97.1. 10TV, 10TV Plus, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get podcasts. Thanks for joining us on a Woody Wednesday. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you Thursday morning.
They track. They target. That hotel, those shoes, your searches, your clicks, every time you come back. Prices can change when websites know you want something. Look again and all of a sudden it costs more. And they saw you coming. Startpage, the private search engine, helps keep what you look up online from becoming a price tag. Nothing saved, nothing to use against you. What you search for is your business. Try Startpage, the private search engine, at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.